Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't worry about that. Hinder you from getting the prayer that you need. If it's something personal, that's fine. You don't have to even tell us who you are when you call in. God knows who you are. That's what matters. We just want to pray with you and lift you up before the Lord as we join together, brothers and sisters in Christ, to lift each other, to bear one another's burdens, and to pray for one another. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can indeed come to you in prayer, seeking after you, knowing that you are ready to hear from us. You are ready to meet our every need. You are ready to strengthen us and encourage us and help us. And Lord, we thank you for your love and grace, your mercy that you bring upon us each day to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. That without you, Lord, we know that we would be lost and without hope. But because of you, we have great hope. Because you are a good and gracious Father, we know that we can confidently come before the throne of grace, knowing that we will receive good things from your right hand, because you are a good and gracious and merciful God. We thank you, we praise you, we celebrate you this day. We give you all glory and honor, Lord, and pray that you would be exalted in all the earth. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God, and we've been looking at the life of Abraham. A little interrupted last week. And the last story we talked about was, the last story was the birth of Isaac. But I'm going to go back a little bit and share some personal things. Because sometimes, you know, we share the Word of God. And, you know, when we do a morning munch, when we do a prayer closet, you know, my prayer is always that as we're giving out this word, that God has directed us to a word that someone needs today. That someone listening, this is the word that they need to hear today. And the reason that God led us to this place or had us share this particular word or this particular scripture was because someone out there was just needing to hear that. And we're always trusting that God knows who those people are. We can't know what all your needs are and where you are, but we know that God does. And so we just trust that he directs that. And so that word going forth is touching people and different people who just need to hear that word that day. And that's kind of, you know, our prayer and our hope. But sometimes you realize that God's also speaking to you, you know, as a pastor, you know, someone who preaches regularly. I realize that, you know, half the time I'm preaching as much to myself as anybody else, as God is working on me through, you know, preparing the sermon and preaching the sermon, that God is often speaking to me as much as he is to anyone else. And that's certainly been the case with the life of Abraham. Abraham's long been one of my great heroes of the Bible. I think he's a great man of faith. I've often said I think Abraham does more with less than anybody in the Bible, because he doesn't have as much information about God as we do. Remember, Abraham didn't have any scriptures, right? There's no written scripture at this point. There's no formal worship of God at this point. There's no priestly cult. There's no practices for worship that God has laid down. All that comes to Moses through the law and is established by him. But none of that exists for Abraham. Abraham has a handful of stories about Adam and Eve and Noah, and that's it. That's all he really knows about God. And yet when God comes and calls to him and says, you know, leave this land, leave everything that you have, when he's well along, he's 75 years old, he's established, he's got a life, he's got roots, he knows who he is and where he is, and he's surrounded by family, and he's in his place, and everything's good, his life is fine, and then God comes and uproots him and tells him, I want you to leave all of this, all that you spent your whole life building, I want you to leave it all and go to a land I will show you. He doesn't even tell him where he's going to lead him. And Abraham goes, right? The Bible says he just gets up and goes. There's no sense that Abraham argues with God or debates with God or, you know, spends time worrying about this. He just gets up and he goes. So he's an incredible man of faith. And he proves this many times throughout the Bible. In fact, we're coming up on a story where, you know, the sacrifice of Isaac, where an incredible testing of Abraham's faith. We're not going to talk about that today, but we're coming up on it. So he has many highlights of his life and faith. But we've also looked and seen there are several times where Abraham's faith kind of wavers. As great a man of faith as he is, he's the father of our faith, right? Rightly admired and lauded for his faith, and someone we can all learn from. And yet not perfect. He's human. And we just last week looked at a story of Abraham and Abimelech, who was passing through an area, and he was concerned that people would want to kill him to take Sarah as his wife, their wife, because Sarah's beautiful. And so tries to pass her off as his sister, and Abimelech takes her and wants to take her as his wife, and God warns him in a dream not to do it. So Abimelech goes back to Abraham and says, what have you done? Why would you pass her off as your sister when you know she's your wife? And God had to come and warn me in a dream. You almost caused me to sin grievously. You know, go take her. And we've seen that this was the second time that Abraham did this. The first time was in Egypt when he tried to pass her off as his sister, and Pharaoh took her as his wife. You know, so for the second time, now we see Abraham repeating the same mistake here, that he had great faith in God, but he kind of had this blind spot in one area. There's so many areas where Abraham showed absolute faith in God, and he kind of, but in this one area, he kind of has this blind spot, and he keeps making the same mistake. And I was thinking about this as, and I shared a little of this if you were listening to the Morning Munch, and so if you were, sorry, gonna get a little repeat. That's all right. Good story's worth telling twice, but most of you probably weren't listening at that time, so. You know, this past, if you were listening last week, you know, I was kind of in and out last week because we had some water issues at our house. Our water line, main water line to the house broke, and water running in the basement and everything. It took the city 3 days to find the shutoff because something got lost on the box, and so they couldn't find it. And kept having to send crews out and finally dug it up and found it and got things shut off. And, you know, we're getting the water fixed, and pretty expensive repair, obviously, getting the line replaced. And, of course, it was on our side, so it was our responsibility. And, you know, I spent last week kind of stressed, to say the least. Stressed about getting the water. We don't have, for 2 days, we didn't have any running water. You know, everybody in the house was sick. My wife was sick. Two of my kids were sick. I mean, it was just, you know, I had a flat tire in my car during the week. I was going to the store to get water. I mean, it was just like one thing after another. And on top of all that, I'm like, where are we going to get the money to fix this? Right? We had a kind of tough year. A lot of things happened last year and really stretched our finances. So we don't have a lot of reserves right now. And so we didn't have the money. I didn't know where it was coming from. And so I, you know, made some arrangements to borrow some money from people and then try to get this thing paid off. And so I'm praying over this and asking God, and pleading with God. And, you know, if I'm honest, you know, a few times kind of struggling with God a little bit. Why are you letting this stuff happen? You know, all that. And God, because he's faithful and because he's good and because he's just, provided all the money we needed to cover this. And so much so that I called the people I'd arranged to borrow the money from and said, hey, you know what? I don't need it. Thank you for your generosity, your kindness, willing to do that, but I don't need it. And all the money came from people I did not ask for money from. It came from different sources that people just found out about it and said, we want to help. And we didn't even ask them to. Just God laid it on their heart to do it and abundantly provided for everything. So much so that, like I said, I could call people back and say, hey, you know what? I don't need to borrow the money. It's God's taking care of it. So one, praise to God. You know, we'll be praising him in prayer time for that. For that gracious provision, in spite of my lack of faith at times. But as we were driving home from church yesterday, my old son, who likes to keep me in check, right, always reminds me when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, like, you're a pastor. I hear that a lot. You're a pastor. I can do this and that. I'm like, dude. But he, you know, made a good point. He goes, I don't know why you're so worried. He goes, I prayed to God and I knew God was going to take care of it. You were all worried last week. I prayed and I knew God was going to take care of it because we were talking about this in church and praising God, giving him praise in church for providing for this. And he's like, you got all worried, and I just knew God was going to take care of it. We prayed about it, and I knew God was going to take care of it. You're a pastor. You're supposed to know. And I'm like, you're right, buddy. You're right. What can I say? You're absolutely right. I did get all worried, and I shouldn't have. I did get all worried and about what was going to happen, and I should have just trusted in God's provision and God's faithfulness. You know? And I told him, I've already repented. I've already asked God to forgive me for my lack of faith. But you're right. You're absolutely right, pal. And God was faithful. You know, and as I got to think about that, I thought about, you know, we had been talking about Abraham and his ups and downs and how, you know, in certain areas he just kept struggling with God. He was so faithful in so many areas, but in this one area, he just continued to struggle. And I confess, you know, sometimes in my life, when it comes to finances, you know, I will stress out over stuff. This happens, like, oh, where's the money going to come from to fix that? Oh, where's the money? And, you know, God is faithful. He's proven himself time and time again that he's going to take care of it. And yet, much like Abraham, in that one area, just like, oh, more than any other, just seems to get me. And maybe that's true of you. Maybe you have an area in your life where more than any other, it really stresses you or challenges your faith. Maybe it's a health issue. You're always nervous and stressed about your health. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's relationship. You know, whatever it may be. You know, you might have, like Abraham did, that one area which is like, you can have faith with God and 99 other things, but this one thing, boy, it's just like every time it hits, it stresses you. And it may not even believe that we don't believe God will do it. It's just like for some reason, this is the area where, boy, it just challenges our faith more than others. You know, and I think we all have that area. I don't know what it may be for you, but I think we all have it. We all have that one area, much like Abraham, you know, who when it came to his wife, Sarah, he just got nervous. I mean, every time he got in a new country where he thought people might desire his wife and try to kill him for, he just panicked. Instead of trusting in God, he saw God provide for him. He saw God take care of this in Egypt, and yet when he comes to Abimelech, he falls into the same trap. Tries the same trick. It doesn't work. It didn't work the first time. Doesn't work this time. And it's just a challenge that he had. For as many great things as Abraham did and great strengths that he had, this was an area where he struggled. And we see that throughout the Bible. All the great characters of the Bible, whether it be David, Moses, Peter, you know, all the great heroes of the faith, all had moments or areas or places in their life where they just struggled sometimes to trust God. And in every other area, that might be great, but in this one, oh boy. You know, and the Bible very honest with us about them and their struggles. Because it knows that we're going to be the same way. And yet to be reminded that God is faithful in all things. When Abraham tries this trick with Abimelech and passes Sarah off as his sister, and Abimelech tries to take her as his wife, God immediately intervenes, protects Sarah. He comes to Abimelech in a dream, tells him, don't take this woman as your wife. This woman is the wife of Abraham. And, you know, a big plague comes down on his house. And Abimelech goes to Abraham and says, what have you done to me? And take your wife. You know, God protects Abraham from himself. And he protects Abraham from his lack of faith. And a pretty important thing because, you know, if Abimelech had taken Sarah as a wife and Sarah gets pregnant, you know, and then Abraham, so then he gets, then somehow Abraham gets Sarah back. You know, God's promised him an heir through Sarah. And then that messes everything up. How do you know it's Abraham's baby, not Abimelech's baby? I mean, oh, he could have just thrown a whole monkey wrench into God's plans. You know, Abraham's lack of faith put a lot of things at risk. And our lack of faith can put a lot of things at risk. But the good news is the Bible says that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. You know, even when we fail, God never fails. That he is always who he is called to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, it says this. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign in him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You know, it's a great promise. Not to encourage us to be faithless, of course, but to remind us that even in our weakness, God remains faithful. God's faith isn't based on ours. God's faithfulness isn't based on that. God's faithfulness is based on who he is, on his character and his provision. Honestly, my faith did not deserve to have God come and provide for us. Even though I asked him and called to him, I was still worried and, you know, nervous and, well, where's it going? What are we going to do? And it wasn't that, you know, I didn't think God wouldn't do it, but, you know, I was making plans because, you know, just in case. But God didn't let that hinder. And even in our my weakness, God was proving himself faithful and graciously providing and also teaching, reminding me, hey, you know what? You can actually trust me about this stuff. I will take care of you. You need to stop doubting. You need to start believing. And he brought to mind Abraham and all we had been talking about. And brought to mind that, you know, we can have faith in God in lots of areas, but we need to have faith in God in every area. It's not enough to have faith in God in 90% of our lives, or even 99% of our lives, or 99.9% of our lives. We need to have faith in 100% of our lives in every area. And in that, he will prove himself faithful. So whatever that area may be for you, today, lift that up to the Lord. Confess it to him. Tell him, you know, Lord, I know in this area of my life, I struggle to trust in you. I struggle to have faith in you. Help me, Lord. And he will. He will. Remember the centurion who asked Jesus to heal his daughter? And he says, if you can do this, Jesus says to him, if, do you believe? And the man famously cries out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And God heals. He heals. Maybe that's the prayer you need to pray today. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lift that area up to God. And he will prove himself faithful because that's what he does and who he is. He's a good and faithful God. And he doesn't let us down. We'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. If it's the prayer closet, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And a couple of requests in we need to pray for. First one in is asking for prayer for my marriage and my health. I've been diagnosed with diabetes, and it seems to be a roller coaster ride. Lord, we lift this listener up to you. First of all, we pray for their health and the struggle with the diabetes. Lord, we pray that you will help them to manage this, help them to, you know, through their diet and medicines, to get this under control so they're not on this roller coaster, Lord, and that you'll bring this diabetes under control in their life and that they will it will not adversely affect their health as they learn to live with this and manage this. And Lord, as you bring healing to them and strength to them and strength to their body and consistency to their body, Lord, they're on that steady road instead of up and down on that roller coaster of health. And Lord, we also pray for their marriage. And Lord, we don't know the issues there, but Lord, we lift that marriage up to you. We pray you'll bless that marriage. You'll strengthen that marriage. You'll enhance that marriage. Lord, you will make that marriage into everything you desire it to be so that it will be a joy and a blessing to them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I have a long one here. A listener asking for prayer for their family. They're facing some court issues. The person who wrote this in is 14 years old. Their sister's 17, both having court issues. They say, I struggle with self-harm, anxiety, self-hate, depression, and PTSD. My mother and stepfather are looking into divorce. I'm having some issues keeping my emotions under control, which is causing my mother's and I's relationship to break. My mother needs a surgery, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out considering it's scheduled for next month. My grades are decent for now, but I have no motivation to complete my schoolwork. I'm overwhelmed with all these things. I got arrested on October 17th and got charged with being an unruly child. I'm slowly getting myself out of that mess. My sister got arrested for an unruly child as well. She's in a foster home, so she won't be a danger to others. She was in my aunt's custody when she got arrested. Before that, she's living with a foster family. I got taken out of my mother's care when she pulled a knife on my mother. And then mother having issues with her parenting, having medical issues, and just kind of oversleeping. And so a lot of things going on in this family. So let's lift them up before you. Lord, we do lift this family up to you. Obviously, there's a lot happening here, a lot of negative things going on here, a lot of negative behaviors that are being reinforced. But Lord, we pray that you would break into this family. You would break this cycle of negative behavior, of destructive behavior. Lord, that you would do a transforming work in this family and in the lives of each person in this family. Pray for this listener who wrote this in, and Lord, as they are seeking after you, seeking your help, Lord, that you would show up in a powerful and a mighty way for them. Lord, as they're struggling themselves with self-harm, anxiety, self-hate, depression, and all these things, Lord, we know these are lies that Satan is whispering in their ear. Lord, we pray that you would banish Satan from this household, banish Satan from them. Remind them that they are a child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, and dearly and desperately loved by you. Lord, help them to see themselves through your eyes. Turn them away from self-harm. Help them to resolve these issues that are leading them to get into legal trouble. Grant them peace in their heart. Give them a peaceful and a kind spirit. We pray for the sister also who's struggling, that you would help her as she faces these issues and these anger issues and other things that are going on. Lord, that you would bring peace to her heart. We pray for the mom who's struggling and stepdad and the struggles in their marriage. And Lord, there's so many broken relationships and hurt here. Lord, we pray that you would move in a mighty and a powerful, a miraculous way, Lord, to transform this family, radically transform this family in such a way that everyone who looks and sees will say, only the Lord could have done that, and will give glory to your name. We lift them up to you, Lord. We lift this listener's prayer up to you as they're calling out to you for help, knowing that you will help because you are good and you are faithful. And you can bring real change and hope to this family. Bring peace to it. Bring joy to it. We pray in your name, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in the midst of this family, and that they would give glory to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you ever have a prayer request, remember you can always get that to us by emailing or texting to us at prayer@yeshome.com. You can call the office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. Always be somebody here happy to pray with you. And you can go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button and you'll get connected to an online spiritual coach for a live online chat session that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.